Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amino Hassan, joined as always by Big Jerv. Welcome back, Black Trey. Got a great show for you today. P-Valleys, Flatbush Misdemeanors. As you can tell from my voice, I'm in Las Vegas, and I am tired as hell. I've been at the NABJ convention. That's the National Association of Black Journalists. The NAHJ, the Hispanic Journalists, had their convention here at the same time as well. So it was one big happy celebration. I am worn the fuck out, ladies and gentlemen. Trey went to the Kendrick Lamar show. He's going to give us an update on that as well. But first, patreon.com/countthedings is where you go for all the extra content, the overflow episodes, the watch-alongs, the Discord, and so much more. Make sure you are subscribed, patreon.com/countthedings, and getting all that extra exclusive content. I do want to start, a place that's a little bit more serious, a little bit more somber. For those of you that have been listening for the last couple of weeks, you know Trey hasn't been in here because he's been with his mother, who was the victim of gun violence a few weeks ago in back home in California. Trey, you went back home and, you know, basically looked after her and helped her transition from the hospital back home. We haven't talked about it at all out of respect for you. And you know, we wanted to wait for you to be back and see if you were comfortable talking about it. So anything you want to update the people and let them know how your mom is doing, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you. I seen every message. I seen every post. I really appreciate it. I know it was like random as fuck, especially to say that shit. I remember even when I sent the chat to a text to the group chat that she got shot. It just caught people off guard. You know what I mean? Especially when it's so close to home. We see mass shootings. We see shootings and things of that nature. Out of respect of the case, I'm not going to get too much into details, but I will say my mom was at the park. And she heard gunshots and tried to, you know, her first nature. You know, I mean, my mom is a very nurturing woman as far as like she just cares a lot about people. And the first thing that came to mind was the children. And I mean, I think if that's y'all kids out there or my cousins or whoever, she going, you know, she just going second nature, just go after the kids. So her trying to cover the kids, she got shot in the process. as far as the details, she was shot by AK-47. She shattered her elbow. Also was shot in like the back arm, so she shot twice. But with the, you know, I mean, I don't know if people, the listeners know about how guns are and the bullets, that rips you apart. And, you know, she's a very tough woman. Like I said, she shattered her elbow. So she had to get 16 pins in her arm. And we just slowly just taking it one day at a time. The first 2 days was really difficult in the hospital, just trying to, you know, the pain level, you know what I mean? Especially when you see like a family member, you can't do anything for it and you think like medicine. And just being really honest about it. Like my mom was, she was battling addiction for 20 plus years. So most of the pain meds are addictive. So just her having to tough it out and not take the pain meds, you know, was commendable and admirable to try to withstand the pain and not also trigger some shit from the past that she's worked so hard for. But yeah, man, you know, outside of that, man, we blessed. You know, I talk about my mom all the time and, you know, our relationship has been growing and stuff like that. And she back outside doing her thing, man, with her sling on, and in good spirits. I mean, I think the thing that make her happy is being able to cook and shit like that. She really love her job and she's not able to work. So that's been fucking with her. Financially, I was able to like, you know, I'm blessed to be in a position to like take care of her for a couple months and stuff like that. And, yeah, I just asked, you know what I mean? I told a couple people like, just go pull up on her, man. Put a smile on her face when I can't. You know what I'm saying? So I'm back in New York, thinking about her always. And, you know, now it's the process of my mental and physical therapy. You know what I'm saying? Because that was the thing. She was waking up having nightmares thinking that shit was still happening. And it's a lot of anxiety when people get shot. You know what I'm saying? You just think like, it's not like the movies where nigga get shot, he tape his shit up, and then he back out killing shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like that. You know what I mean? Especially a civilian getting hit. So, yeah, man, we just grateful for all the prayers, man. And she going to be back good as new, man, when, you know, that time comes. But right now, we're just taking it easy. Thanks for giving me that platform to express that too.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's a wild occurrence, and it's, you know, like you said, man, it's not like the movies, right? And the, you know, the hero come out and just keep walking or whatever, and you know, and that's real. Your mom's a hero. She got shot basically trying to protect those who need protection, so, you know, some babies. So I don't think it's out of the question or exaggeration to call your mom a hero. But, you know, now comes the hard part of trying to just cope with that and live and try to live your life without living in fear. And I feel for her, and, you know, hope she's doing better, and you know, hope you and everybody else can help her get back to some semblance of normalcy. But man, that's a wild. I remember you sent that message. I got to go back to California. And I was like, what? Like, it just didn't see it. I was like, it just seemed real, man. It was just like crazy. It was just like, I thought I was like hallucinating or whatever. So good to hear that she's doing better.
Yeah, we had recorded earlier. You know what I mean? Like, it was a regular day. You know what I'm saying?
That was a Sunday. It was a Sunday.
Yeah, we had recorded. Everything's cool. I'm on the couch watching Shark Week. And then I see a call. Like, normally my mom calling at the time, and she seen somebody I went to high school with that I ain't gonna fucking remember. No disrespect to my high school friends that listening. But my mom is just always out and about. So I'm thinking, like, it's a Sunday. She probably ran into somebody. Like, I got his number. I'll call him right now. Y'all could talk. And I'm like, So something told me to answer. And when I answered, it was not her voice. It was one of her friends saying, screaming into the phone, your mom just got shot. And the idea of like them telling me it, but then disappearing. And now the phone is just to the side and I'm hearing her scream and the ambulance working on her and all that stuff. And they're asking her questions. And she just
this is like as it happened. I thought you meant called you in the hospital or something.
Nah, I didn't even know. Like, bro, I was sitting there and I'm just trying to like process, like, for one, where did she get hit? Where are they taking her? Who's around her that's going to give me the information? But again, it's 8 o'clock East Coast time. There's only so many flights that go back to California at night. You know what I'm saying? It's like maybe 2 flights that's going back to LA. So I look and it's a 10:45. That's the first thing I think. I'm on hold on one phone. I grab my other phone. I call my aunt and I'm like, yo, you don't have this number. This is Trey. My mom got shot, you know, and then that initial reaction is what? Like, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, look, calm down right now. I need you to go on Facebook and see where she was at, you know, and see if you know anybody that was with her to find out which hospital they're taking her. So all this is going on. I don't have anything. I can't function because I have like less than 45 minutes to get to the airport. So I can't pack. I can't be strategic and do all these other things. And I just booked the next flight out. You know what I'm saying? And I was able to do that. You know, I'm like I said, I'm fortunate to be able to afford that. I know some people that the last thing in their mind, sometimes it's just like, I get there when I can or whatever. I just dropped everything. And, you know, just being on that flight for 5 hours, bro, just in my thoughts, like, I didn't know what the fuck's going on, like where she got hit, the stable condition. I'm getting news that 2 people died. Like, shit is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, people not making it. So I'm like, when I land in LA at 1:30 in the morning, I'm not going to obviously be able to visit her because of COVID. And they got just different like lobby hours and shit like that. So I had to wait till the morning. And when I seen her, that's when I got all the info from the doctor. And it was just, it was crazy because,
you spent the night like not knowing anything.
Yeah, I didn't know anything. Damn. I didn't know. So that's why my messages to y'all was so like broad. You know what I mean? Cause like I look back at it and I'm like, maybe this was a bit dramatic knowing the detail of it. But then I was like, fuck, I really didn't know. But just how I am is like,
well, hold on. How is it dramatic?
I don't get that. I don't get how that's dramatic at all.
No, but I'm sorry. I shouldn't be like this, but how I am. I get calls and shit. I'm numb to it and desensitized.
All of your communications with us, I thought you were like remarkably calm. I was obviously this very much real chill for like some crazy ass shit like that happened.
Yeah, I mean, because I get them type of calls all the time. I mean, now, so it's like I don't know how to feel towards it. And even Don, you know, my boy Don, he's like, hey, bro, I don't know what I would have been doing right now. I don't know how you doing it. Like, you functioning. Like, you know what I'm saying? I would have needed a break. I would have fell over and cried or some shit. And I'm just like, I'm all she got. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's another thing that I learned in, like, the past couple weeks. It's like, my mama really ain't got nobody but me. You know what I mean? Like, most people get to, like, all right, the husband to take care of my dad or my uncle. No, that shit stopped. It was a harsh reality for her too, because she is big on taking care of other people. Hmm. Niggas disappeared, bro.
Word. Damn.
You know what I'm
That's
saying?
Crazy.
It was like, oh, I gotta work. Oh, I hope she's doing okay. And the thoughts and prayers text became literally thoughts and prayers text. Damn. So it was to a point of like, I gotta feed her. I've never done this shit in my life. I gotta bathe her. I got to make sure that she's taking this shit. And it's just like, my whole world is just, you know what I'm saying? And it's like one person would be like, oh, of course you would drop everything for your mom. And it's like, well, y'all don't know my relationship. This is the longest I've ever spent with my mom in my life. That's another thing that niggas don't know. Like, it's the longest time I've ever spent with my mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, not to be on like some therapy session, but like, it was the realest perspective ever. Like, oh God, whatever. If you believe in God or whatever, and life lessons, that was the life lesson shit. Cause my mom fucked me up. She said, I had dreams of this, but not this soon, hoping that I was good to you enough for you to take care of me.
Damn.
She said, I've been trying since I got clean to impress you and like basically win you over for you to do this later on in life. Jeez. And I'm like,
damn,
I was gonna do this shit regardless. You feel me? Like, I don't know why that's in your head. and what type of individuals are out here in this world, but I don't navigate like that.
Yeah, dog, that's the guilt of a parent who felt like she let you down or whatever.
Every time, bro, the doctor come in and they like, you really got a good son. He flew in from New York and this and that. She like, I had him at 15. We grew up together. But I ain't raised him by myself. I'm going to be honest. And she started crying. Like, my grandma stepped in and helped. And I'm just sitting there like, you ain't got to say this shit. And I get it.
Right.
But it's the harsh reality of that shit. And then also thinking as a parent, like, I can't get those years back. And I'm trying my best. And I'm like, bro, I've been forgave you. Like, I just want you to let it go. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not on that type of time. So it was crazy, though. Because she had, like, an episode two. They gave her some oxy. And she didn't know.
Oh
my God, bro. That shit was like the movies.
That's crazy.
You know how you sit and she was like freaking out, bro. First of all, I'm sitting in a chair, the hospital, like next to the hospital bed. So I'm thinking she's asleep. She says, I hear voices in my head telling me to stop breathing. So she just goes, and I freak out. Because, you know, when the thing is connected, the shit is changing. It's like beep, beep. Then it just flat. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? But it's the drugs kicking in, bro. That just like, she just stopped breathing. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like freaking out. So I'm like, oh, nah. So then she stops. And then she thinks she's talking to my 7-year-old self. So when she's talking to me about my 7-year-old self, I'm sitting there. I'm like, bro, this is a, like, it's
damn.
She full on tripping.
She's tripping, bro. She's like, you know, hey, who brought you up here? Grandma? My grandma been dead for 15 years, man. She like giving me life lessons now at this point. Like, look, when you get older, don't join no gangs, don't do no drugs. When you graduate from college, I'm gonna be there. I graduated from college twice. She wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did my graduation by myself.
That's your mom living through her grief, man. And
it felt sad because I'm like, I'm not mad at you at any of this shit. But like hearing it out loud, I just was like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
It was tough, man. It was tough. It was more mental on me because I'm sitting in the hospital for 5-6 hours.
Right.
And then like there's nobody to do a shift with me. And you almost get like Donald had to come get me to eat. Cause I just didn't want to leave her because I knew nobody else was coming.
Right.
And that's the fucked up part about it. Like, it's just me and her. I mean, y'all blessed enough to not like put, you know what I mean? Y'all parents are healthy enough that they don't have to go into like homes and stuff. But that put me in the idea of like how lonely that shit is, being in a hospital bed or like that shit. I couldn't imagine it. Like somebody not showing up or somebody, you know what I mean? You wake up and you just like, fuck, I'm supposed to be surrounded by love and all this. And I'm calling people like, yo, you know, this is what happened. This is, you know, blah, blah, blah. Y'all can come visit. It was still minimal. It wasn't that many people, bro. Just a lot of, hey, I got to work, or, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm just like, that's just a real shit. Yeah. So I was like, look, when you get out of this shit, man, you got to make some decisions.
Reevaluations, for sure.
Yeah.
Some reevaluations, for sure. Mm. Well, damn, man. Well, I'm glad she's feeling better. In a weird way, I'm glad you got to spend that time with her. And I'm sure, you know, like you said, Trey, you never held a grudge or an anger about that through your life, but you could tell now if you didn't know before.
I can't say I didn't. I did.
I'm saying now.
I went to therapy for it. Yeah. I want to make it seem like I'm just this
non-cool
person.
No, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I guess my thing is this is like, I don't know if you knew that's how she felt.
No,
if you suspected it, did you suspect it at all?
I did suspect it because that was the thing. Because she always tried to like buy me after, you know what I'm saying? Like at this point, I can get anything I want, you know what I'm saying? So like, you can't really buy me, but like now you're just trying to, hey, I know you don't have it and you're still trying to give. Before I can say, oh, my mom did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like, you don't have to do that. Like, you don't. Like, we're
but
good.
You're not, that's what I'm saying. Now she's had the opportunity to let you know how she feels explicitly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's, like, I hope she comes out of this feeling like a burden has been taken off her. That,
well, I got her therapy now. So this, it's crazy as it took for this to happen.
To happen, yeah.
Because it's such a stereotypical thing in our neighborhoods. You know, my mom looked at therapy as like, it's for crazy people. Why would I go? You don't, ain't nothing wrong with you, boy. Why are you going to therapy? And I'm like, nigga, I got a fucking dumpster truck of trauma. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it helped her because niggas was going, I was like, y'all got to give her grace. Like, y'all going too hard on her. Like, this boy done lost his daddy already to gun violence and now you get shot. And they putting pressure on her. Damn. And I'm like, I don't understand that shit. Like,
what?
Yeah, because it was just, it was a lot, man. Because my family just don't know how to communicate like that. It's so tough love. Like, you know, that's why I am how I am. And it's not like, oh, I'm just the toughest nigga walking around. But that's, you know, so I'm learning how to even humanize a lot of shit and be like, oh, it's okay to like smile or do some shit because I've just been taught that way. You know what I'm saying? I've been dealing with funerals and death since I was like 4 years old. So it's like, what's next? This life shit don't stop. You know what I'm saying? And like, I honestly felt exhausted with my mom on that situation because I was like, this is heavyweight. You know what I mean? And we talking about, and that's another thing, we had to have them uncomfortable conversations of like, if something was to happen, because her surgery was like 6 hours. Do she want to be buried, a funeral, cremation? Like, and that's very cryptic conversation. You know what I mean? Like, you don't never want to have that type of conversations, but I did. And I was like, shit. All right. You want to be cremated? Cool. All right. What else you want? Well, I don't want to be spread in the ocean. I want to be in like some little lockets. And I'm like, nigga, you're alive. Why are we talking about that right now? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not about to, like, you're going to make it through. And that was her first actual major surgery outside of delivering me. So it was a lot, man.
But your mom wants to be put in lockets?
Yeah. Like, for the family, for the family and shit. And I'm just like, you just want to be a part. I'm like, you just want to be a hanging around.
You'll be around.
No, like, you know what I'm saying?
Can't miss anything, yo. Gotta be, we gotta be at everything.
Yeah, she's sick, man. She's sick for that. I was dying laughing.
I actually like that idea.
It's fire, though. It's kind of crazy.
That's kind of dope. I feel that. Like, yo, I'm everywhere. You don't worry about it. I'm always gonna be there.
Like me, her sister, like my cousin, like all the immediate close family and shit. She want to be like divided that way. You know what I mean? Lord willing. So, yeah. Sorry to go deep, listeners, that's what was going on.
But that's what everyone was curious about. Everyone was asking, how's he doing? How's it going? And I said, man.
Can we bossa nova?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so.
All right, so glad she's doing okay. Let's transition to more fun stuff. You went to the Kendrick Lamar show.
I did.
How was that? Did he do a COVID test on the stage and all that?
He did the COVID test. I think PG Lang is brilliant because they don't use a lot of money. That shit don't cost a lot. The shit, you know how most rappers are like, I want the pyrotechnics and I want the motherfucker flying. He just had some women dancing. He had some dudes dancing, wardrobe, probably some regular suits. And then that little box that come down and then come up and then some lights. And then he had some like regular effects that you could do on a computer. And it wasn't, he is getting up there. And like I said, thanks to you, I've seen Cole perform. Mm. I've never seen Hove live, but I would honestly think like it's at an elite level up there with Beyonce of like channeling the one-to-one shit, right? And I think since the last time I've seen him,
Jerv, you've seen Hove live, right?
Yeah,
like I don't know, man. Like I see him live twice. I saw him once. It was him and Fab.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging,
It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
ah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
At like Comerica Theater in Phoenix, which is about like a 5,000 seater. And then I saw On the Run. I don't think he's that great of a live act.
So I'll say this. I probably have seen Hov probably like 15 times on some shit like that, and I've seen the get the fuck out of here.
That's a lot. I think it's 18 times.
Oh, I mean, yo, you gotta think about it. I've seen, like, probably the first time I probably saw him was Volume Two.
And shit, right?
Volume Two, yeah. Like, I've seen him at like Powerhouse. I've seen him at, you know, whatever, the Rough Rider, Rockefeller Tour, whatever that shit was.
The Hard Knock
The Hard Knock Life Tour. I've seen him fucking the R. Kelly Tour. I caught the tail end when, after, you know, the alleged pepper spray. So, like, I got Jay-Z and friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, I also saw the American Gangster Tour, right? I mean, I've seen a couple others, right? But they're, like, all big places. I saw the American Gangster Tour, and it was in the spot in Philly that's like a standing room only joint called the TLA. And it's probably one of those spots holds maybe 300, 500, something like that. Yeah, like one of those intimate ones. And like I'll say, Trey, like he 100% was on some, you know, like locking in with you as a fan. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's just because that's probably the closest I've ever like actually been to him ever, you know what I mean? Because I'm usually sitting in the back. It's not like I see dude at places that I go, you know what I mean? So I'll say he's gotten way better, but he's not on no motherfucker. I saw Watch the Throne. He's not on no Kanye shit. You know what I mean? Like, he's still a 90s rapper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's going to give you the, you know, the arm movements and the, you know, listen, you know, but he does what the Lox does. He raps. He doesn't, you're not hearing.
He's not performing. Yeah. He's not doing a performance. He like, that's what I was thinking about. He's like a 90s ass rapper, man. Like,
but he says he does his own songs. Like, he's, you're not hearing.
Oh, you don't
like, hear like how Dipset did. Like, you know what I mean? You're not hearing just the regular music and shit.
The reference track beneath it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what Kendrick does, you know what I'm saying? But I think he had like a ventriloquist. I like didn't understand the direction it was going in. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like almost a theatrical play. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh man,
he's doing shit, then he has somebody in the like silhouette, like almost like him, and he rapping, and the motherfucker got like Cupid shit shot, like arrows in his back, and he rapping, and it's like kind of doing the shit. But that nigga know how to, like, just like Cole and Drake, where they like make you feel like
they
know talking to you. You know what I'm saying? So he knows how to work the stage where he, you know, stop. And then it was to a point where the whole Barclays is just, you know what I mean, for like a minute, 2 minutes straight, just flowing along, and he just like laughing. Then he get back into it, and he in his bag, and he, and you know, but overall, that dude is just a flat out. From watching him from Section 80 to now, and then just the evolution of how like good he got. Like, you know what I'm saying? His performances, I watched him at Celebrity Theater, I mean, on 44.
In Phoenix? Yeah.
Where the shit revolved.
Circle,
He did it with, like, it was a small set. It was not crazy. You know, that venue's not big like that.
Yeah.
And that was before Good Kid, Mad City came out. You know what I'm saying? Right. So watching him do that and him telling this girl I was with at the time, like, hey, I'm going to be a star. And, like, to see him now was like, fuck. Right. Like, and you could attest to, you know, Cole, like, seeing him, like, oh, I get the mixtape, to, like, now this nigga got it all. And he is so disciplined and so, like, a perfectionist to the craft shit. It's so weird. You know what I mean? So, after the show, niggas like, you know how it is, because I was in the suite. Niggas say, hey, it's an after party at Dumbo House. So I'm like, all right, I'm a slide, because it's an after party.
Right.
You know that library area?
Yeah.
Why this nigga sit down and do a show for Hov and B?
Oh, for real?
Yes, nigga. So niggas in there, and I'm looking like, I'm chilling. I'm in the mix. Right. I'm chilling, but I'm looking like, damn, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Hov, like, you know, whatever. Well, I'm like, I'm cool. I ain't going to pretend like I want to sit through this. I just sat through 3 hours of show already. I'm going to let somebody else rock.
Right.
I get over, bro, and go get my little Picante. I'm chilling. I'm just watching everybody huddle up and, you know, record. Why these niggas start fighting on the other end?
Who?
Over some niggas. This nigga fighting over a girl. The nigga grabbed me, bro, and slammed him through a table.
No, I swear to God, I thought you were going to say they were fighting, like they're trying to get closer.
No.
To shit. Like, no. You know, hey, watch out, man. Like, no. I was here first.
Look at Jerv. What you about
hold to say? Hold on. Because we're not just going to just let this brother just tell the story. We have to unpack this shit. So we know this nigga gets off of a plane. He goes into a Kendrick Lamar show. And then all of a sudden, he just ends up and trips up at an after party where fucking Hov and Beyonce are there. But this nigga says, nah, I already saw that show. I'm going to let somebody else sit down and have the opportunity to experience watching a live performance with Hov and Beyonce, like an intimate performance. This nigga just left the arguably the Michael Jackson of like the world to everyone in Beyonce. It was like, nah, yo, I'm cool. Yo, your life, my nigga. Okay, this is it. You have to document every day. No. Just document every day, dog. Like, no. either this shit is a fucking the Black Seinfeld type shit, or something, bro, because a show about nothing off of whatever, all the shit about you and everything you experienced, come on, dog. This nigga just left Beyonce just sitting there.
But Amin probably would do the same thing if he seen Cole already perform. He gonna be like, nigga, why am I gonna sit here for this again?
My nigga Amin's at least gonna get a couple like minutes of just being like, damn, she look all right, yo. I know you. You literally just said, eh, I'm good. Like, you didn't even like, and I know it. Come on, I know Amin's gonna at least get 5 to 10 minutes, bro.
Oh, I mean, I just looked at it like this. And you know, I've told you before, I've met Hov before. Like, it's not like on some
shit. I hear you. I'm like,
so I'm like, at this point, I thought it was something different. I'm thinking we about to be the vibes and just like chill and a good, you know, good energy. I didn't want to sit down and watch a nigga perform his whole album. Like, it's 12 o'clock, nigga. It's like almost one. Like, I'm not doing no more, bro. So, like, I see niggas out here, like, you know, like trying to record and shit. And I'm like, bro, you got it. Like,
I ain't saying record. No, I know. By all means, I'm not going to record. Cause I just feel like somebody would like, If I did, like, I'd be the person that they just turn around and peep and be like, yo, dog, get off my dick. Turn the camera off. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, no, please don't talk to me that way. Now, this is crazy.
Well, it's just like Kanye saying he's embarrassed to, like, I mean, who said it? No, was it Cole? Said he was embarrassed to pull his phone out? Like, in them type of situations, I don't see Kendrick as Kendrick. I just see him as Kenny.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well,
like, I think what Jervis referred to more is the Beyonce piece. Like,
I mean, out of respect, I mean, like I said, like so Beyonce. It wasn't normal, but it was like, what the fuck I'm supposed to do?
Jervis, it was the same scenario, but instead of Hov and B, it was like, I don't know, Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez. Like, you wouldn't give a shit.
Like, no, I wouldn't give a shit at all. Like, I understand. Like, all right. I mean, I here's the thing. I've never seen her in person either. I probably would be like, damn, I'd have to be there for like a couple minutes and then I did.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. I've been in the same building as them before. So it wasn't like,
I don't care, bro. Anybody, she's in the building. You at least got to just soak that shit in. It ain't like you going to see her again tomorrow on Friday. I mean, I don't know. The way your shit
but
be
if,
going.
But if you, she, but if you look But if you look at my stories, that shit sometimes be like, Amin's been with me too on some random shit where we niggas be like, oh, well, nigga, you know that nigga? Yeah, you know, like whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause I didn't plan on going to the show. Niggas was like, oh, I forgot you live in New York. Man, I got you, bro. That's what it was on. I wasn't even really tripping because I went to some other shit way before that. Like, I was chilling with the homie. So actually going to the show and I don't want the listeners to be thinking I'm just it's not a big deal, but it was so much going on. And that library is so small. I didn't want niggas to be like, you know how you like nigga pan by and you're like, is that Trey? I don't want that type of attention where a nigga just sitting like, this nigga just casually sitting with Hov and shit. Like, it was late. Like, I got my tote bag with me. I'm like, I'm low-key tired, bro. I'm just sitting there like,
not the tote right, bag. Cool.
And niggas everywhere with that tote bag, man. And just came from Whole Foods.
And niggas are secretly recording Hov, bro. Like, Hov's just trying to catch a vibe. He's just trying to catch. He's just sitting there, just a fan of the music, bro. And niggas is like,
which is funny because isn't there an embargo
no photos.
On
those? No photos, no video. So I'm just trying to sit. There
niggas
like,
risking it all.
And niggas in here like.
Niggas risking it all for a sneak peek.
Like, nigga, that's Beyonce, nigga, look. On FaceTime and shit, like, nigga, look. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, bro, what are we doing FaceTime. Here?
Let me ask you this, right? Mm-hmm. So imagine yourself what I would consider a typical American who does not get to just be around whomever on a Tuesday, right? Imagine yourself just be that type of person. Mm-hmm. If your lady or if your significant other is a fucking huge fan of Beyonce, right? And you're not in, is it acceptable for that person to risk it all to show their significant other so they can get a glimpse? Is that acceptable?
Yeah, I would just introduce them if I had that, if I had the opportunity. I mean, I would be like, hey, you want to meet them? And most of the time when I do say shit like that, it's like, no. Cause they don't know what to fucking say. So they just rather just be there and be shook, like, oh, like, you know what I mean? Mm. It's like, bro, they're just like us. They're humans. But I get the celeb. I get it. I understand. Like, it's life-changing for a lot of people. But I've been around so much bullshit in, like, almost 20 years now. It's to a point of, like, I remember the one time I got hyped. I got hyped over fucking Darren Williams, bro. And the homies and the homies was like, stop acting like a groupie. And it ruined it. I can never go back, bro. That moment killed everything for me.
I'm not gonna lie, that would probably ruin it for me forever too. Like,
it ruined it for me, bro.
The fact that it's by the way, the fact that it's Darren Williams makes it so much funnier.
Like, because at that time, I was like, it was a person like I really modeled my game around. I wanted to play like the nigga, and he casually just walks up to the car.
Hold on, Trey. You a little skinny nigga. How could you model your game? His whole game is being bigger than everybody.
But he's aggressive. Like, I can dunk, though. Like, I used to finish at the rim type shit. I mean, I ain't going to be doing no shit like this, but I used to, you know, his
full the right.
The aggressive shit. I got
it. I just liked his style of play, and I didn't like Chris Paul, and I liked that he used to bust Chris Paul ass. So it was just so many other things. Like, even my bicep tats are like Darren Williams. My first little shits. Yeah, like, I was really a fan, bro. Yo. So
cue the Michael Jordan meme,
right? It's fucking dick. I was dick eating. I was dick eating, man.
Yeah. It's a reminder. I got banned from my chat for 24 hours.
Shit is crazy. But yeah, no. What happened was after that, I never like got excited about it ever again, and it sucks because I wish I still was like innocent enough to like enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? Like, even when I met Hov, I called Don and was like, "Nigga, I just met Hov." He was like, "Of course you would, nigga." Like, because it's how Jerv looks at it. Nigga, I was kicking it with Spike Lee one day, and I'm like, nigga, what the fuck am I? Like, in my head, I'm
nigga,
like,
I remember when you told me the story about the Spike Lee shit. And I'm like, why are you so chill on this? Like, I get it, but like, yo, you literally were kicking it with one of the greatest minds in that field ever. And you just like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's all good. Yeah, I mean, we was chilling.
We had fucking duck confit. and just fucking talk, bro, hey, about the
that's
Knicks.
That's like when Jerm went to see Steve Stout.
Oh my god, yo, I'd never seen that shit before. I was just standing there in awe, like, yo, this is the wildest shit I've ever seen in my life.
The lotion story, right?
Lotion in the feet.
Yeah, wow. Somebody, and I was just like, holy, like. That's your job. Like, that's what you got to do. Nah, I can't do that, dog. I mean, hey, listen, I thought it was, I mean, it's fly. If that's your life. Like, yeah, dog. Like, I mean, you live in your reps. I get it. Like, I don't think I could do that. I'm cool. I can do that part.
I mean, I wouldn't self-proclaim the most interesting man, but I do think that, like, I don't understand what God's plans is for me and why shit just be happening sometimes, but it be happening. And I feel like I'll be in the right place at the right time sometimes. Like, that's all I could honestly say. I would
agree with you, my brother.
Because I just don't. You know what I mean? And, like, I end up getting cool with these people. Like, it's not like I'm initially like, oh, I need to be in this spot or this. You know what I mean? I don't look for it. I just be like, nigga, I went outside. Like, even when I met Tom Sachs, nigga, that shit wasn't, like, hoping, like, oh, I'll meet this nigga. Like, half the time, artists don't go to their own galleries. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just was going to the gallery and met the nigga like, oh, shit. Right. Like, bro, I met you after 17 days of, like, posting about you, bro. Like, this is the algorithm in real life.
That is crazy.
So I don't be thinking about that shit. I just be genuinely, like, going outside. And then New York is one of those cities that shit just happened. Because if I lived in Arizona, none of this shit would be happening like that.
Really,
I mean, the weather be good and you be chilling, but you got to go to Scottsdale and you got to go to the club and pay. And then you see nigga and the nigga going to probably disrespect you because he's like, you on my dick, nigga, move.
Well, Trey, I'll just say that I am going to go see Kendrick Lamar on Tuesday. Right.
Excellent show.
I feel sorry for anybody that's going to ask me how was the show. Because my story won't be nearly as interesting. It's going to be the fucking show. And then, yeah, dog, I had a couple drinks and went to the crib.
No one home.
There wouldn't be no home in Beyonce in my story.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I think that's the most funny thing because everybody's just been texting me like, nigga, Hov and Beyonce was there? And I'm like, yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, like, nigga, so was I, nigga. Get excited for me, nigga. I was in the building too, nigga.
It goes down in Brooklyn.
It goes down, man.
Just like Flatbush misdemeanors. So in this episode, Uncle Drew discovers NFTs.
Oh my god, man!
Could you put a? Could you draw like on them apes with like some Timbs and a fitted on?
Yo, that shit was the most realistic shit ever because niggas, when they found out about NFTs, especially last year, it was the funniest shit because they didn't get it and niggas was trying to bootleg the main shit to come up with their own shit. So the idea that Drew was trying to sell his shit for 300 grand was so fucking funny. But for him to pull up to the art school like niggas is going to stop what they doing to draw for him. And how do you decide what type of NFT like that you just want to create?
That nigga doesn't know what an NFT is, man.
Yeah, like, bro.
Just
like, that shit was
he
so
just heard
funny.
That.
He said, let's make them. He said, let's make them Drew FTs.
The Drew FT is fucking funny, dog. And then Blue being in the metaverse.
Yeah. Like, just grabbing titties.
Grabbing titties in the metaverse, bro. That's some horny ass shit.
Yeah, Blue makes me laugh, man, because this nigga never moves off the couch. Y'all know this? He's always on the couch, no matter what.
Hey, I've never seen him do anything.
Yeah,
he's the most underrated character on there. Like his Blue, cameos, yeah. He don't do much, but for the small little spot that he got, that nigga be killing it.
Yeah, he be killing in his windows. Yeah. Meanwhile, what's my man? What's my man? Kev, they're doing the artwork for Zayna's play, and he said, "Man, fuck them kids." And then she's like, "Okay, R. Kelly is like, you know, give me some credit. R. Kelly knew them kids. He knew who they were. Oh man, this is so many one-liners there." Dan is on probation or not on probation, is being evaluated.
Evaluated live.
Have you ever been had the live evaluation in your classroom?
Bro, that shit is the worst.
Do the kids act better or act worse or just act the same?
My nigga, I don't know if the kids be fucking knowing, but they act worse. And that was like I was telling Dan that shit. I said, bro, this shit is scary because it's a mirror. It's like true, nigga.
Right, right.
Like, you can have a whole Discord of teachers telling you about stories like this, right? So I liked how that nigga played it off. That was smooth. But like I've done classes where I've had like, I think it was like when I first got my teacher's license, they did a follow-up and it was just somebody with a clipboard just And like you talking about somebody working over your shoulder. And then You know how like I've had my moments where I got mad at kids where I'm like, oh, you right. need to stop it. Yeah. In this moment, I'm like, that's okay. Like, no, it's, you know, like, and the shit Dan, is not okay.
Dan did the opposite, right? Yeah, with the kid that was making the jokes, right? And even when Zayna and Amaya were talking in the beginning, he's like, "Stop, be quiet!" Like, and that's like we never hear Dan talk like that to anybody, let alone to the kids. So I was just like, "That's funny," because I'm thinking like, are the kids? Because they weren't really doing anything, I think, that was out of the ordinary. But to him, I'm sure it felt like y'all trying to fuck this up for me.
Bro, I had a student run with some scissors.
Damn, bro.
But they like the rubber ends, but I'm just like, still.
Yeah, it's a concept. Why? It's a concept, yeah.
I'm like, why are you doing this right now? And I'm like on the ground because, you know, Montessori, we work on the rug. So I'm teaching the kids like, da, da, da. And I look and my assistant's like, no. And I'm like, oh. Like, and the evaluator just looking like, hear it. Like, and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, how do I? And they want to see how I stop it.
You hear the pen like,
yep. Exactly. And I'm just so stressed to me because I'm like, you know, when they finally leave because you got to walk them out and you're like, And then you get back in like, I'm going to fucking beat y'all ass. Like, we ain't got no recess for 2 days. Y'all embarrassing me because we got company. Like, bro, I used to be hot, bro. I used to be so hot because they just try me. They would try me, bro. It was one. It was another a meme, I guess. I ended up tagging, you know, the ape that slides in. He comes out that little hole when he comes and slides.
Yeah, I said that shit to Tony Baker. I'm like, Tony, you need to do this shit, man.
So it's like when you have a substitute and the main teacher come back from break. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I sent it to, so I tagged my assistant, who I used to be my assistant in there. Yeah. And I was like, yo, this is what that shit used to be like when I come back from lunch. Cause you be losing control of the class. Like she'd be like, oh, they're not listening to me. And I come in like, you know what I'm saying? My hands on my hip. And niggas just stop like, I'm sorry, Mr. Edwards. And I'm like, it's not good enough. Who was it? Who was it? And then she, and I start writing the names on the board like mad sloppy, like no recess, no recess, no recess. Like it is so fucking funny. I remember I had one kid, bro. This nigga, I mean, I found out like he had some like learning disabilities a little later on. He got tested and stuff like that. But I used to put his name up. And I'd be like, you don't have recess today. He'd be like, I don't care. So shit. I don't care. So he'd do some shit.
I don't cares.
Hey, and I would just put a check next to his name. And I said, we get the three checks, you're going to the principal's office. And I'm taking you. You know what I'm saying? But he'd be like, I don't care. I don't care. Do it. Do it. Call my mom. Call my mom. And you know, like four years ago, this when the Apple Watch, the kids had Apple Watches. They called their mom one time. And I was like, oh no, we can't have watches at school no more. Just cause shit ain't going your way. She complained about me like this.
The kid said I took away
her recess.
What the mom say?
Oh, what? Went to the office, wanted me suspended.
What?
Why am I taking away kids' recess? Dog, there's other ways to connect. I'm just like, all right, man. Like, I don't know if there's some white shit or some black shit, but you know, I don't know. And at that time, Jared Dudley's daughter was in my class too. So it used to be fucking funny as shit. Cause I'd be like, okay. I remember Jared went on a field trip with me. And I was just like, bro, what are we supposed to talk about right now? Like, I don't fucking know. And that's the reason why they put her in my class, because of this full circle moment about me not caring about celebrities. Like,
Right.
Randy Johnson's daughter was in my class too. But I'm just like, nigga be sitting there all tall and shit doing the parent teacher conference, just letting the mom just ask all the questions. And nigga, like, yup. All right, man. All right. Shake my head. And I'm just like, yeah, nigga, I'm not no groupie, bro. Cool. You play.
Yeah, I like the idea that this Trey was prepared for this moment. Because once upon a time, he said, there go Darren Williams. And niggas said, start acting like no groupie, nigga.
Yeah. Could you imagine me fucking like Jared Dudley comes into class and I'm like, oh my God, nigga, I love the Suns. I really love the Suns.
That shit
like,
happened to me. I went to a friend's house for July 4th weekend. And, like it was cool, you know. Like I know her. I know her parents and shit. So we've always been cool, whatever. So at our parents' house, and so I walk in and I'm like, all right, you know, I got like a case of you know Trulies or whatever. Brought some stuff, and like one of the dudes there is like, oh my God, you're Amino Hassan from ESPN, and then like proceeds to ask me every sports question under the sun.
Oh my God. I can only imagine.
And I'm smiling. I'm being like, I'm trying to be polite and answer the questions. And I'm looking at my friend like, you set me up, didn't you? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Definitely set you up.
But
I mean, you made me think of every single time back in the day when you would make one of your remarks about the Lakers or Kobe or some of that, some shit like that. The amount of my friends that would text me and want to and basically just cuss you out via me.
Yeah.
And I'd just be like, yo, what the fuck do you want me to do? Like, I'm like, this is what he does. Like, I don't know. Stop listening. I don't understand. What do you want from me?
I thought you were going to say, like, the amount of bouncers. They're like, hey, man, why are you always hitting on the Lakers? Oh, you know me, da, da, da. That's that was a golden era, man. When the Lakers were bad and Kobe was still playing and I was in L.A. and Vegas, every single club, every bar, I'd get in anywhere. Because all it would take was a bouncer and be like, man, why you always hating on Kobe, man? Oh, nigga, da, da, da. I'd give him 15, I call it 15 minutes a show. I'll give him 15 minutes a show. They ask any question they want, at the end of it, like, how many got with you? Oh, just me and these people right here. All right, go ahead, man. It was the ultimate cheat code. Never have those days back. All right, P-Valley, real quick. I didn't even finish the episode. Man, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. There's one episode left after this. I can't wait for this shit to be over. What's the point here? Like, is the point that Mercedes lost her fastball? Is the point that what's it called, my man, running for mayor with fucking stripper campaign ads and shit? Like,
yeah, it's a lot going on, man.
the mom's going down the street on a the other mayor candidate. Yeah. She's going down the street on a stripper pole.
It was just all of it was just like, what are we doing here, man? Because it's go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, I think the best tweet I seen was Mercedes be walking around the pink like she LeBron year 20. She'd be so disgusted, my nigga, with the young chicks.
Hashtag like, washed king.
She's fucking washed, dog. Like that shoulder knee icy hot, and the fact that she's 30, like I think that's hilarious, dog. I think she's just walking around, just young OG.
Yeah, when she threw her bag at Uncle Clifford, talking about like I should have been retired 5 years ago. I was like, yeah, maybe. Oh man, and then the woman that was married to the coach did a whole art exhibit. I don't know when this happened. I must have missed it. She's an artist.
Did she not get bread off of that? Well, she did. She did take pictures. I do remember the episode where she took pictures of her. But like Mercedes doesn't get any bread off of this.
I don't know.
So no, she just was. You know, once you get a clearance, bro, niggas can use you. You know what I mean? But
that's crazy.
She was looking at some shit and was like, who did it? And she's like, me. And then when she actually let her take the pictures of her, coach was like, man, she ain't no photographer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he was hitting.
Yeah.
Coach was a dick.
So basically, that fuck up basically allowed her to reach her dreams thanks to Mercedes. You know what I'm saying? So
she did the big chop too. So I guess that was the big transition. She cut all her hair off.
Some murder out here living his raps.
What happened? Did he murder again?
I'm just talking about just in general, just him just actually using the chopper. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I was gonna say, man. Like fucking, ain't nothing cornier than casting a rapper to play a fictional rapper, but then the fictional rapper performs the real rapper song on stage. Why?
She used the government name, right?
Tina Snow, that's her name.
I think that's
her name.
No, I think that's an alias, but
no. I don't know. Whatever.
So Megan Thee Stallion plays Tina Snow.
Yeah. Right. But she called herself Tina Snow too, though.
Oh, do she? But like that's her, that's the name of her character in the thing.
Yeah,
it's a rapper called Tina Snow from Houston, and she's not rapping on raps. I'm like, just be Megan Thee Stallion, man.
Her rap name is, I mean, her real name is Megan Jovan Ruth Pete.
It's an ugly ass. Oh, wow.
It's a long name. That's very Southern. Jovan Ruth Pete.
Jovan Ruth Pete. I'm going to go to Ruth Pete.
Yeah, Ruth Pete.
That would be a nice ass. That would be a nice ass restaurant in the South.
Ruth Pete.
Mm-hmm. Taking you to Ruth Pete.
They got the best pie, right? Like, you got to try Peace Cobbler. It's the best. Like this side of 51 or whatever. We'd be describing shit by highways and stuff.
You want to go to Roof Pete? Yeah, nah, murder. Talking about he felt like a deer up on the stage. The niggas rushed him. The gang violence is, you know, going up a little bit.
But Leo, like I'm like, yo, how could y'all foreshadow it? Not foreshadow, even like just tip your head even more. When it's a whole line of niggas outside from the other gang, all in colors.
Like it wasn't going to happen.
And my man Diamond said, all right, don't start no shit. I'm like, what? That's it? They're already at capacity.
How Diamond is just fucking forearm shivering niggas with the machine gun. Like, he ain't use it one bit. He's just sitting there like, watch out, nigga. And Mississippi over there on the floor having a motherfucking anxiety attack.
Let me reiterate one more time. The dumbest shit in the world is the whole spelling out Mississippi.
M-I, crooked letter, I, humpback.
It's on the crooked letter. It's M-I, crooked letter, I, crooked letter, I, humpback, I.
Oh, yeah.
It's so fucking long.
That's a long-ass chant. Uncle Clipper had a new hairstyle. Good for Uncle Clifford, man.
Are we?
Jeremy. We're not gonna address it. Okay. I'm done. I've made my feelings. It's just All right, let's call it a show right here. All right, thank you, Jer. Thank you, Trey, especially for sharing that stuff in the beginning. That was you know, big time. I think people need to hear that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, patreon.com/countthethings. Make sure you're subscribed. Overflow's coming. Sorry about last week. It was just, you know, kind of crazy. Trey was on the run, and you know, I was on the run, and you know, so we'll be back tomorrow. We'll review the last two episodes of Westworld, which I gotta say, I'm back in now. I thought they had lost me forever, and I was just watching this and like, can't wait for this season to be over. I'm never doing this again. And I'm back in. So hear my thoughts on Westworld tomorrow. We got some more stuff coming out. Man, there's some Showtime and Netflix stuff that's coming out soon. We'll talk about that as well. So next time, stay black, motherfuckers.